Blog Talk Radio.
The Ultimate Fighter veteran Julian Lane, Tisha Torres of Invicta FC, Steve Caro, who comes to us right after an impressive victory against Tyson Steele at World Series of Fighting, all here on The Roman Show. Interact with us on Twitter. That's at The Roman Show. That's at The Roman Show. Tweet with us right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome you to another edition of The Roman Show with your host, Rodolfo Roman. Now Mikey Ruckus, rain down hellfire and brimstone.
I consider the beast, I consider the pound. He considers the people when he considers the crowd. Ain't nothing to it cause we all go through it. It's the start of The Roman Show, let's go through it. Come on, with five shots as you licking your chops. The straight to the top, the moment that the solar will drop.
Yeah,
got it on lock and time to deny. We got the industry crossover like it or not.
Keep rocking.
You haven't been all, you haven't been heard. From Miami up to Detroit, three and a third. East Coast, West Coast, yeah, we throwing the curve. With a red carpet news break shocking the world. Come on, ride, coming on The Roman Show. Coming back to attack the world.
Did you miss last week's show? Stream the show on your smartphone device from anywhere on the planet. The Roman Show is now on Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and iTunes. Download the different apps and stay informed with The Roman Show. Hey, you. Yeah, you. I want you to keep listening to The Roman Show. And you don't want to disappoint me, do you?
Come around, feel the sound. Oh, you make my heart pound. Fill me up, bring me down when I hear your sound. Come around.
time, folks, June 19th, the Roman Show. We are live from South Florida. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and interact with us at The Roman Show and on our Facebook page, Roman Show Media, as we are actually watching Bellator as we speak. We got King Mo versus Seth Petruzzelli in the main event. We'll be keeping you up to date with that. And we have a long list of guests here tonight, including The Ultimate Fighter, Julian Lane, who will be competing this Friday here in Fort Lauderdale. Tisha Torres of Invicta FC, who will be competing next month. And also Steve Carl, who comes right after fresh, an impressive victory against Tyson Steele. And he will possibly meet Josh Berkman for the World Series of Fighting title. And there is lots of news in regards to mixed martial arts. But Guillermo, are you a big Sopranos fan?
No, I never watched it, man.
Yeah, well, yeah, back then, talking about a few years ago, it was a very, very popular show. It turns out that the head guy, Tony Soprano, has passed away. It was 51 here, James Gandolfini. He has passed away, famous actor from The Sopranos. He has died in Italy, so our condolences to that.
Yeah, I didn't even know that he had died. I've seen him in other movies, obviously. I know who he is, but that's pretty surprising. He's not that old.
No, he's not 51 years old. He died of a heart attack, unfortunately.
Wow.
Unfortunately, so our condolences to that. John Gunther, you know, great show. I saw it. I wasn't too much into it, but I did see maybe one or two, and it was interesting. I just didn't find the time to see all the shows, but I do remember watching the last one where many people were upset because it ended in black. That's it. Nothing else. But nonetheless, our condolences to the big honcho there, Tony Soprano, James Gandolfini, who has passed away. With that said, I want to just start off the show, Guillermo. I want to call myself out because I gave up on the Miami Heat yesterday. I posted up a Facebook status, so I'm calling myself out. We're not believing in my team. I was just like those other fans that were leaving the American Airlines Arena early, and then they wanted to go back inside. So, hey, I'm calling out myself for being a dummy and not believing in my team, as the Miami Heat are just one victory away from reclaiming the trophy and being the champions again. And mind you, Guillermo, Vegas is with the Miami Heat. But not only is Vegas, statistics are with the Miami Heat because the numbers prove, Guillermo, that the home team has never lost since, I believe, 1986 or something like that. The home team has not lost an NBA Finals game 7. That is what the stats say. So let's see if they keep up to par with the numbers. And we'll bring another championship here to the Miami Heat. I mean, to Miami. I hope so.
Yeah, I hope they win, man. That was one of the most exciting games I've ever seen yesterday. That was great. And
interesting,
like you were talking about Vegas. The interesting thing was, before the game ever happened yesterday, the Heat were still favored to win the series, even though they needed to win 2 games, and San Antonio only needed to win 1 more.
Yep.
But Vegas was still giving a slight edge to the Heat, which is really surprising, because to beat the Spurs 2 straight times, even at home, is not that easy. You know, I would have expected Vegas to maybe be giving the Spurs a little edge there, but they didn't.
Yeah, good. There you go. Never give up. Well, with that said, guys, again, as I mentioned, you follow us on Twitter. Shout out to Simply J. It's proven, guys, if you want your business to grow, you got to have video so people can be aware of it and you can post this on the internet. Reach out to simplyj.com. They will film your business, put a video together, and they will let the traffic, the patrons, possible patrons, know what your business is about. Simply J is an Esk Pro company. Shout out also to Full Contact Fighter. FullContactFighter.com is the original when it comes to MMA news. Full Contact Fighter has been around before the MMA junkies, before the Sure Dogs. They've been here before that, informing the public of MMA news. You can check out FCFighter.com. We are also on the page. So shout out to Full Contact Fighter. Also, Are you tired of just drinking plain old water with no nutrients? No worries. Pick up yourself some Vita Coco. It's full of nutrients and rich flavor, and it will help you hydrate during this cold, this hot summer that we got going on, especially here in South Florida. It is so humid down here, man. Jesus Christ. You take a shower and you are just sweating. It is ridiculous. Boy. All right,
yeah, absolutely.
Guys.
That's why I moved away from this place, man. It's way too hot. Way too hot, man. I need a place for four seasons.
Yeah, well, I don't think that ever going to happen. It's just really, really hot here. All right, guys, so we're going to reach out to Tisha Torres, who will be fighting Invicta FC. For those folks on the line, please hold on. We will get back to you soon, as we will be opening lines shortly. We will have Steve Carr of the World Series of Fighting and Julian Lane, who will be fighting this Friday night against J.P. Reese here in South Florida. Reese has a strong following here. So to go head-to-head, one-on-one in the main event of the Fight Time Promotions event this Friday night. So make sure that you could get some information there on their website, fighttimepromotions.com. But there's lots of news that we need to cover, especially with the word coming in, Guillermo, that Hector Lombard is now going to officially move to welterweight. And we have spoken to him before, saying that he couldn't do it because of his muscles. But we'll get into that in the details in just a few minutes. Let's reach out to Tisha Torres, the Tiny Tornado, who fights Rosa Namajunas. And that's going to be a great fight. Two undefeated fighters at the Invicta FC card taking place July 13th in Kansas City, Missouri. Rose just won by flying armbar. And that went viral with the video. I'm sure everyone has caught that online. We're reaching out to Tisha right now to speak. Maybe she is, she's not in training, we hope. Right. I'll try again as we reach out to Tisha Torres here on The Roman Show. All right, maybe we're not, we'll try to get a hold of her in just a few seconds, but she fights Rose Namajunas, who's the girlfriend of Pat Barry, Guillermo. We've had her here on the program. We spoke to her as soon as she had that flying armbar. She is 2-0. Both of these ladies don't know anything about losing because both in their amateur career and professional career, they are undefeated. So as they say, Guillermo, somebody's O must go. Going into a fight undefeated, you bring in so much momentum. But boy, to lose your first one must be difficult, Guillermo. So it'd be interesting to know to Torres and how she feels as far as going in there and knowing that, you can count the fighters that are undefeated. I mean, one person that I could just think of right now, the top of my head is Money Mayweather. He's boxing, but he's undefeated, never lost in his life. He has like 30 something fights but to be perfect, that is just so difficult, Guillermo.
Yeah, unless you're like 1-0, you know. But if you got a few fights, like more than 5 fights under your belt, then yeah, for sure, it's definitely difficult. These girls are both 2-0 in their professional careers, but like you said, they fought a bunch of times amateur, and they're undefeated there as well. So yeah, I would imagine that it's very hard for them to imagine what it would be like to lose. But you got to remember, like every day in training, they're going to lose at some point. They're going to get tired and they're going to put in somebody fresh against them and they're going to lose. So I'm sure on a daily basis they've experienced what it's like to struggle and to doubt themselves. So, I'm sure that they've felt some sort of adversity before and it'll help them grow. Now, God forbid there's a draw, which will be the only way they both stay undefeated. But, I'm sure they're not looking forward to losing. But it's interesting because whenever a fighter loses, I mean, some of them never recover. They just can't get over it. And some of them actually grow from it. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that.
Yeah, very interesting. And, some of the fighters, after they suffer their first loss, they come out different fighters and they become more humble. And they become better fighters because they learn from their mistakes. And that is essentially something that they learn. We're trying to reach out.
Absolutely.
Your call has been
forwarded.
Magic voice message system 9-5.
Let's try reaching out to her again, as she was on the other line there. But yeah, you do become a better fighter. You know, perfect example is Hector Lombard when he had his undefeated streak. I think he had like 20 fights in a row. And then he lost the fight here in the UFC when he made his debut. The guy was just a complete different fighter. Complete different fighter. His second time around when he fought in the UFC and he won, which is a good thing. His attitude changed. He was smiling. He was happy. And you just become more human. You know, you don't become this machine that's just known for punching people and winning all the time. You become human, very humbled, and you bring that humility as a fighter. All right, so here we have Tisha Torres, American Top Team standout on the line. Hey, Tisha, welcome to the Roman Show. Thanks so much again for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me on again.
Awesome. Well, Tisha, it's been some time since we last spoke to you, but you're getting ready to fight at Invicta FC next month in July. It's going to be on internet pay-per-view. So you could check out InvictaFC.com for information, July 13th. She fights Rose Namajunas. Tisha, this has to be, I would say, possibly one of the toughest fights you're going to have because both of you ladies are undefeated.
Yeah, it's going to be the toughest fight for me, and I believe I'll be the toughest opponent for her as well.
Now, knowing that with Rose, I'm sure you saw her last fight, that she defeated her opponent via flying armbar. When you saw that, or you've seen some of her videos, perhaps, studying for her fight, what was the first thing that came to your mind?
That's going to be an exciting, really good matchup. I think we both come from a similar background with, you know, martial arts growing up as a child, and we're both young fighters now. So I think we match up, you know, perfectly. It's going to be a great battle and test for both of us to see where we're at in the division.
Getting a fight over her and moving forward, do you think you find yourself closer to possibly getting a title shot, even though you're still young in your career at 2-0?
Whoever wins this fight, I could see, you know, one of us possibly maybe by 5-0 going for our sixth win, being able to get up there for maybe the sixth going to seventh, getting up to a title shot. So possibly both of us could be in contention for a belt within, you know, a year, year and a half time from now. I think we both have the talent to make it up there.
Gotcha. Guillermo?
Yeah, so, Tisha, tell us, you know, you fought for many different organizations back in your amateur career, and you fought your whole professional career for Invicta. Tell us about the difference in the way they treat women in Invicta versus these other organizations that you fought for.
Just organization-wise and having, like, everything you could possibly think of, like, already thought for you is really awesome when you get there. You know, there's vans already waiting for you and your coaches or whomever you're bringing. You know, I bring my brother with me every time I fight, and, you know, he's allowed to come with me. You know, it's very nice how they have it set up. When we get there, there's a schedule. You know, we know the first day we're going to go in, get relaxed. The next day we're going to do our photo shoots and interviews, and the next day, you know, we're going to weigh in. So everything's just ready. There's someone to do our hair for us. You know, we have the UFC guys come in and do our wraps, and, you know, they're available for us as well. So it's really thought out and planned, and Dan and Shannon do, you know, a really good job behind the scenes and, you know, with each individual girl.
Now, you know, you've had an extremely successful professional and amateur career, but right now you're on a current run of, like, seven straight decisions. Do you get frustrated that you're not able to finish the fight, or you really don't care how you win?
No, I don't get frustrated. I just care that I win. I mean, it sucks when sometimes I think, like, geez, I hit that girl so many times, but she didn't go down. So it just makes me think, you know, that I have really tough opponents and that I need to – I know that I needed to work on some things. And I think I've, you know, went back to the drawing board in this last 6 months I've had since I fought MMA. And hopefully this fight, it'll all come together and connect. I don't know. We'll see. I'm happy with the decision win, but it'd be nice to have a submission or a TKO or something.
Now, where'd you guys come up with the nickname Tiny Tornado? Who came up with it? What's the story behind it?
We're looking for a nickname, and one of the guys at the gym suggested the nickname, and it fit really well. You know, coming from my martial arts background, I tend to do, or at least in kickboxing. I don't really know MMA. I haven't thrown any yet, but I like spinning kicks, and I'm fast and agile, so this works really well. And I'm short, so Tiny Tornado.
And tell us about your experience in training with American Top Team and what you've learned since you started with that camp.
I've been with American Top Team for a little over a year now, so Pretty much most, like, all of my MMA career, I've only been doing, or fighting MMA since October of 2011, so about a year and a half now. I really like it and enjoy it. There's, you know, really talented girls there and, you know, obviously talented males that come out of that gym as well. But I get a different look since there's so much talent coming from American Top Team. So I'm just really thankful and happy that I'm there. And I'm glad that India is with Invicta as well. So this will be our third time fighting for Invicta, and we'll be together again a third time. So looking to bring 2 victories home again.
Tisha, knowing that you train here in South Florida, you did have some experience with the amateur level. Tell me some of the fighters that you competed against. Have you kept up to date with them, or did you become any friends with them as now you are a pro and maybe perhaps some of them are still in the amateur level?
Yeah, I'm friends with a couple of the girls that I fought as an amateur. What are you asking? Like, where have they gone, or...
Yeah, I mean, do some of them look at you and say, you know, if she could do it, I can do it. And maybe they even call you and ask for some advice or whatnot, or for inspiration.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Girls that I've fought and then girls that I haven't fought that, you know, are just amateurs and stuff. I get a lot of messages, you know. Often some people, you know, ask, you know, what do I have to do to get into Invicta? Or the girls that I've fought are just, you know, the ones that have stayed friends with me are just really, you know, inspired by me, and they just want me, you know, they want me to do well for themselves, you know. Some of them, you know, even tell me, like, oh, I'm glad I got to fight you, you know, one day I think you're going to be, you know, you've already made it, but, like, one day I think you're going to be something. So I really like the girls that stay in touch, and I don't think I've really met any girl that has been, you know, not stayed in touch or anything. Most girls have been really nice.
And now that we're talking about friendliness with the girls that you have fought, how about the locker room in Invicta FC? You know, down here we had CFA. I know you attended some of the shows down here, and I've seen some of the girls, even though they fight each other inside the cage, they have this camaraderie. Paint the picture for us in an Invicta FC locker room, because I remember talking to one of the female fighters and telling me, you know, we have to stay together despite the fact that we are opponents, because we need to prove something, that, you know, we're here to compete and we're here to prove a point that women can fight. Does that camaraderie also exist in an Invicta FC locker room?
For sure, for sure. I mean, I can point out 2 girls right now that I really like and I look up to that are in my division, Beck Hyatt and Joanne Calderwood. Both of them I met at Invicta 3 or 4, I don't know, whichever one they fought, I met them. And both are in my division. Both are ranked above me. You know, they have a few more fights than me, about 4 more fights than me. So possibly I could fight both of them one day. But I like them as persons, and I like them as fighters. I think they're inspirations to me. And I don't know, I just, when I met them, they were really cool. We each fought that night. You know, we came home with wins, or, you know, even if we didn't win, we... after the fights, we were taking pictures together and stuff. It was just really cool. And we were watching the fights, you know, because there's a screen in the locker room. We're sitting there watching the fights together. And I don't know. I just really like those 2 girls. And I think it's just an example of, you know, how outside the ring we can, you know, be friends and be friendly. But it's a job. When we get in there, we know that we're both coming to, you know, do what we have to do.
Now, you say that you look up to them and you're inspired, but fighting them, you know, inside you'd be, gosh, you know, finding a friend, but would it also be as kind of like a dream come true, someone that you looked up to, and now they're giving you this opportunity to compete against them to see who is the best?
With them too, I wouldn't say it would be a dream come true, because they're relatively new to me, but like people that I've been looking up to in the past that maybe one day I could fight or something, then it would be like,
correct,
wow, you know, I've made it or something. But with them too, I mean, like, they're an inspiration to me just because they're, you know, other females fighting out there, and I think they're very, very talented. So, you know, if one day we happen to match up with each other, I'm still going to be their friend, but when we go in there, I know that she's there to do work, and so am I, and... you know, the better opponent will come out or whatever. But I don't look at it as, like, I never, you know, sorry. Go ahead.
Okay.
I'm rambling.
It's okay, Tisha. I got to ask you, last time we had you on the show, we talked about how you like to eat all this junk food, from ice cream cones and all this stuff. And we were just amazed how you kept in shape. But you said that you were going to work hard on your diet. Have you worked on your diet? Have you changed it? Have you eliminated the Snickers and you know, the McDonald's yogurts or whatever it is?
No, I haven't. Unfortunately, no. That's my big problem. I thought you guys would ask something like that today. I just finished eating a Hot Pocket, and I just was at Walmart. You may have a new flavor, Breyers ice cream. It's chocolate with M&Ms, and I purchased that, so I'm about to eat that right when we're done talking. But my weight is fine. If I can, once like 2 weeks out, that's when I start being better, so I can, you know, lose weight or whatever. But I don't, like I said, I don't walk around too heavy, so I'm able to do it, but unfortunately I probably still should stop. I'm gonna say I'm gonna work on it, but I probably won't right now. But I need to work on that. That's the one thing I need, a discipline.
Well, have you cut down compared to the last time we spoke, or
no? Still the same. I still have ice cream every day.
I know it's tough, Tisha, but I'm sure you'll be fine.
Food is my one, like, if you were to say I had a drug or something, because I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't do any of that crap. So food would be my drug. I'm addicted to it.
So after a victory, what do you indulge in?
I don't know. More ice cream? I don't know. But what I eat regularly, I indulge in time to rest. That week, time for no more, there's no more pressure or anything. You know, the victory is nice. I like reading messages that I get and stuff like that. I like, you know, I don't know, the normal stuff.
Well, Tisha, I want to thank you again for coming on the show, and enjoy those M&Ms before, you know, fight time gets closer to you. So make sure you
one more
grab
week.
A little M&M.
And then I'll be good.
Do one more week. Yeah, one more week.
Yeah,
weekend, you know,
it's 3 weeks from today I leave.
So enjoy it while you can. You know, put some chocolate fudge or pudding on it or something like that with M&M's. I know that tastes good because, listen, I'm a sucker when it comes to chocolate as well. So, in fact, just yesterday I was trying to behave, and I just couldn't hold it. I saw this this ice cream with strawberry, and it's tough, Tisha. So, I feel you. Don't feel bad. You'll be okay. But we wish you good luck, all right, on July 13th as she fights Rose Namajunas. I know both these ladies are going to deliver in a phenomenal fight. July 13th, Invicta FC 6, live on online pay-per-view. You can visit Invicta FC. And Tisha, what is your Twitter account?
At Tisha Torres, and Instagram at Tisha Torres as well.
Awesome, Tisha. Thanks so very much, and we'll talk to you soon. Good luck, all righty.
Can I just give a shout-out real quick if that's cool with you?
Go ahead.
All right. Thank you very much. I just want to say thank you to everyone and anyone who supports me. July 13th, I'm definitely going to be at 100%. I've been training full-time for this fight, so you guys don't want to miss it. Me and Rose are ready, you know, to put on the show and entertain you. And just thank you to my sponsors. A really big thank you to Brawl and Mall and Dogs Forever, Forever Dogs. Those are my two bigger sponsors. They've been helping me out a lot, especially Brawl and Mall. Thank you, guys. And then, as always, returning sponsors, Babes of MMA, Awakening Female Fighters, and Slap Fightwear. And then I had a new one, a friend of mine, Derek Allen, Body by V. If you guys check that out online, too, they're sponsoring me for this fight. So, yeah, thank you guys for having me on the show again. As always, a pleasure, and God bless everybody.
Thank you, Tisha. Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, guys, here you go, Guillermo. God, you know, she's talking about M&M's and all of that stuff. I want to go ahead and grab myself a bag of M&M's. Tastes so damn good. It's a chocolate.
Yeah, man.
It's addictive.
Yeah, go to the evil side, bro. Come on.
A little chocolate isn't bad. What's that?
Yeah, you started to go out and pick out, man. You're the one who's always talking about eating healthy, man. You're always ripping me about that.
I know, but you just can't hold back sometimes. You have to, you know... Lately, when I'm watching the Heat games, I grab something sweet, whether it be a piece of cake or right now, you know, my fiance's nephew's birthday is going to take place in just a few minutes, and they're going to have a cake. I'm a sucker for cake. I got to have cake. And I love cake, any type of cake. The pudding.
Nah, man. Like, for me, it's got to be a certain type of cake. I don't like those cakes that are too sweet, you know, within the – I forget what it's called, man, but I only know it in Spanish. But you know what I mean, like the Cuban cake. Where it's like really, really sweet filling like between the layers of bread. Yeah, I hate that stuff, man. I can't stand it. I just need like a plain chocolate or vanilla cake and I'm good. That's what I need.
Yeah. Ah, it tastes so good. Let's take this quick phone call, Guillermo, before we move forward. Caller, you are on the air with the Roman Show. Hello, caller? Hello? Caller, you're on the air on the Roman Show. All right, maybe he'd be like, all right, let's reach out to Steve Carl, who had a impressive victory against... trying to get a hold of him right now. Impressive victory last week at the World Series of Fighting against Tyson Steele.
Hello.
Hello, Steve. Hey, Steve. How are you, sir? Welcome to the Roman Show again. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Awesome, man. Congratulations, Steve. What a phenomenal fight you had last week. You came out blazing. We had you at the show last week, and you know, you promised us, hey, we'll be talking about a belt. Surely enough, here we are. We are talking about it because of that great defeat. Tell me about, have you had a chance to watch the fight?
I have had a chance to watch the fight. It wasn't quite what we were talking about. You know, I wanted to go out there and put on a pretty good show. We didn't really get into it a whole lot, but, you know, it was a pretty convincing win. You know, I guess I kind of put a stamp on the fight. You know, I'm ready for a shot at that title.
Now, you say that you wanted to put a little bit more of a show. What exactly did you want to do and give the fans and the company?
I just wanted to mix it up a little more. I wanted to work for it. You know, I didn't get hit. I didn't, you know, I didn't face any adversity. He didn't put me in any bad positions. Nothing really happened. I just dominated the fight. And, you know, I kind of wanted to work a little more, you know. You put yourself through so much in the gym, you kind of want to see some of that when you're out in the cage. You know, make sure everything works.
Now, did you just decide to put that submission just to avoid gambling anything, or why did you just try to test it out? Did you feel that you had him in your pocket already when you, what, the beginning of the fight, or why didn't you
just
toy around?
I was just in the zone, and I just felt the submission and I hit it. You know, you're in there, and your goal is to finish him, and that was the, you know, the first light that popped on. And it worked.
Guillermo?
Yeah, now, Steve, you look very, very impressive in there. Very quick victory. At the beginning of the fight, Tyson was throwing a bunch of fancy kicks at you. Did that worry you at all at the time or not really?
No, it didn't worry me at all. Actually, it made me start laughing a little bit.
Yeah, and, you know, that submission, you didn't even get any hooks in or anything. Were you sure you had it?
Oh, I was positive I had it. If you actually look, I have, like, a reverse hook laid in there, so he can't turn to his right, and I'm blocking the other side, so he can't turn to his left. I got his arm barred, you know. I pretty much have him stuck. He's not turning either direction.
Now, right after he tapped out, Tyson, you could tell, was rolling around, like, very upset with himself. Were you hearing anything that he was saying there?
No, I couldn't hear anything he was saying.
Gotcha. And now you're fighting Berkman next. He looked extremely impressive against Fitch himself. Did you see that fight going that way, the way that Berkman beat Fitch, or did you see it going differently?
I saw a similar ending like that if Berkman won, but I didn't see it as fast. I mean, I think it was a great win for Josh, and I was really happy for him. I actually was running to the cage to congratulate him, then I realized, like, he probably just took the sub of the night from me.
Do they have a sub of the night bonus there at World Series of Fighting?
I thought they did. I don't know. I'm still waiting to hear.
There you go. How do you think you match up with Josh here for the fight coming up?
I think I match up pretty well with Josh. We're both good all around, and I think I'm going to be a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger, more dominant fighter.
And do you know when that fight's going to take place?
I do not. I'm hoping for the end of summer. I mean, neither one of us got injured. Don't keep us in the gym forever. Put us on the card and let's do this.
Yeah, and have you done anything to unwind here in the week after the fight?
Excuse me?
Have you done anything to, like, relax and chill after this fight?
Yeah, I've been just relaxing and eating a lot of food.
Now, Steve,
not too much for
as we understand, you're going to fight Bergman, but I also read that they were thinking of having a tournament. Is that accurate, or is it 100% you're going to be fighting Bergman?
I'm going to be fighting Josh Bergman for the title. they can, I guess they, maybe they'll have a tournament afterwards to see who's going to fight me when I defend it.
That is just great, Steven. Steven, I'm sure some of the reaction you got on social media there after your victory, anything that you could share with us?
Just a lot of support, you know, and that's always, you know, an awesome thing for a fighter, to know that everybody has their back.
Now, did you soon return to the gym after the victory this week, or you said you're relaxing and eating a lot, but are you in the gym already?
I was supposed to be in the gym this morning, and I overslept, so I kind of scratched that. I'm going to work out tonight here in a couple hours. But, yeah, my plan is to get back in the gym, no time off. You know, I already took a couple of days off. We're good to go.
Dusty, you said that you didn't get to display some of the things you wanted to. Will you still be working on that come in the gym? Because Berkman, at the same time, you know, we didn't get to see too much of him as well. As his fight was quick. So anything in particular that you plan on working against Berkman?
No, I'm just going to keep building myself, not worry about him. Because come fight time, it doesn't matter, you know, what he's been doing. It matters what I've been doing. I try to get back in there and keep building myself. And then when we get in there, you just got to prove you're the better fighter.
Thank you. Well, Steve, I want to thank you, man, for calling in. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, I just want to thank everybody for all the support, you know, all the fans and everybody. And make sure you guys tune in next time when me and Berkman fight for the title. Going to be a hell of a fight.
Well, dude, looking forward to that fight, Steve. Thank you so very much. We appreciate it. And next time, hopefully we'll be talking about that belt again. This time around.
Yes,
your way,
we
though.
Will be.
Thank you,
Steve.
Have
guys.
A good night.
I appreciate you having me.
Thank you. Will do. Thank you. Have a good day.
Yep.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Steve Carl, who defeated Ty Steele at the World Series of Fighting in a phenomenal fight. And, well, he's getting ready to fight Josh Berkman. Both of these guys on a winning streak, a fight winning streak. So who knows who is going to come out on top. Guillermo, let's go to a quick break before we come back with more here on the Roman Show as we will welcome in Julia Lane, the Ultimate Fighter veteran on the show. If you have any questions, guys, make sure you tweet it to @TheRomanShow. That's @TheRomanShow or like our fan page, Roman Show Media. That's Roman Show Media. We'll be right back after this short break. Check out the latest news and the coolest interviews on The Roman Show every Tuesday and Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit us on RodolphoRoman.com or check us out on Twitter at RomanDH. Check out The Roman Show on Facebook. Visit Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. Like us and make sure you spread out the word about the coolest and hippest radio program on the internet to date. Check it out, facebook.com/TheRomanShow. The Roman Show has captivated the sports fans' attention in a fast pace. Therefore, join the Roman Show family by sponsoring us. Send us an email to romandh@yahoo.com. Join this growing family as it grows quickly. Send us an email right now, romandh@yahoo.com, and notice the exposure your company will get. Again, email us at romandh@yahoo.com to sponsor the coolest and hippest program on the internet, The Roman Show. Catch up with
check it out. Keep listening to The Roman Show.
Hey, this is Dana White, the president of the UFC. Keep watching The Roman Show.
Hey guys, if you haven't had the chance, head on over to our YouTube channel and subscribe. That's youtube.com/rroman0201. You can see for your very own self some great interviews, including one with local fighter down here in Miami, Luis Baboon Palomino, who tells us, sits down one-on-one, why he decided to leave American Top Team and go back as he likes to call home. Return to MMA Masters, the camp that he originally started with his career. Also, we have an exclusive interview with Jason David Frank. You might know him as the Green Ranger of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Well, Jason David Frank, as we have had him here on the show in the past, has turned to mixed martial arts. But the guy will be on tour, and he's coming to different states around the country, including Florida, which he'll be here at the beginning of the month of July. But in this interview, he has a bone to pick with a couple of folks, two of them to be exact, and that is Jean-Claude Van Damme, you know, the movie actor, and CM Punk, the former WWE champion. He says he'd like to compete against any of them, either Punk or Jean-Claude Van Damme, in a mixed martial arts fight. Who do you think will win there, Guillermo? The Power Ranger or Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Well, Van Damme's about 20 years older than him, so, I mean, not 20, but maybe 15 years older than him. So, I don't know. I mean, like, it'd be easier to, like, argue in their prime who would have won, and I would have said Jean-Claude Van Damme for sure. But at their current age, you know, it could be a toss-up. You know, it's hard to say because, you know, Van Damme's had his issues with, like, substance abuse before, so, you know, we don't know where he's at. You know, we don't know what kind of Jean-Claude Van Damme would show up, what kind of shape he would be in given his age these days. You know, but back in the day, Jean-Claude Van Damme was the European, like, kickboxing champ, you know, back then when he was young. So he has fighting experience. He fought at the highest levels of kickboxing over in Europe. So, I mean, I'd have to give an edge to Van Damme, even though I know, Frank has won several karate titles here in the U.S., but I'd have to give a slight edge to Van Damme if they were both in their prime.
How about him and CM Punk? I think that would be a pretty good one.
I don't know what kind of fighter CM Punk is in, like, real life, like, you know, not wrestling, but real fighter, so that's hard to say.
Well, I mean, we do know that he trains with the Gracie Jiu-Jitsu camp. We do know that for a fact, that he always sporting his Jiu-Jitsu, his Gracie Jiu-Jitsu sweater. But it would be interesting to note that the guy does have also some, from what I understand, some kickboxing background. So I'd be a fan to watch either one of those guys. And I think Jason is going to be 40 or is 40.
He's 39. He's 39 now.
Okay, 39. And Punk is about 34, 35 around that age. So that's not much of a major difference in an age gap. So that would be pretty cool to watch that fight between those two. And he's also said in the interview that not only would he like to fight CM Punk in an MMA, but he wouldn't mind toying around with the idea of going inside a pro wrestling ring. So you imagine a Power Ranger inside a wrestling ring? Oh, we've seen
one. I don't know. I mean, he's not going to come out in his little suit or anything like that. He gave up that role at least 10 years ago.
I don't think he would mind. You know, in the interview, he states, listen, I'll dress up as whoever you want. I'm ready to go. He said,
I'm sure if they pay him enough, he'll do it for sure.
Hey, so Nick Diaz, we all know he's on retirement, as he says, and is now focusing his energy on this new promotion called War. War Mixed Martial Arts is going to take place this Saturday in Stockton Arena. And some of the matchups there is Daniel Roberts versus Justin Beesman, Caleb Mitchell versus Evan Esguerra, Clayton McKinney versus Mike Persons, and a whole list of fighters. There is about, six fights that will air online. And you can see this stuff. I'm trying to see how much it's going to cost. Doesn't really say. But, the first fight starts at 5 p.m. That's West Coast time. And it's going to take place at the Stockton Arena, 248 West Fremont Street. And that's Nick Diaz Promotion presents War Mixed Martial Arts. Let's see how it goes for him, Guillermo. I think, it gives him something to do. And look at the bright side. He could talk all the crap he wants now. He's a promoter.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think Nick Diaz, his place is in the octagon, and hopefully he'll come back. I hope this promotion goes well for him. Hopefully he's not spending all the money he ever made on this, because if it goes downhill, then he'll be left with nothing. So, hopefully he's investing wisely, and hopefully we'll see him back in the UFC, hopefully in the next year or two.
Yeah, well, I'm actually looking at a commercial that he has, and the guy, I mean, they have some pretty good production, and in fact, it even has its own theme song, this war company. So, you know, they're doing things right for Nick Diaz. So let's see what happens. Let's see how that goes. But yes, you're right. He does belong in the Octagon. And then it's only a matter of time until he does. All right, we're going to reach out to Julian Lane.
Enjoy
who fights
Verizon
this Friday.
While your party is reached.
You got to love these. I always like these songs, you know, when they have a little songs sometimes when you copy.
Hello?
Very relaxing. Hey, Julian, how are you? It's Rodolfo, The Roman Show. Welcome.
Hey, what's up, man? How's it going?
Good, Julian. Thanks so much for joining us as you're getting ready for your fight this Friday at the War Memorial for Fight Time Promotions. Julian,
yeah.
you're part of the main event against J.P. Reese coming down here to Florida. Can you let us know how you managed to get this fight going in the main event? How did it come about?
I've been booking my fights, man, since I started fighting. So, you know, I just... checking it out, man. I was like, hey, man, I seen the fight going down in Florida, down in Fort Lauderdale, man. See James Reese, an opponent, so I called him up like, hey, put me in, you know, I'll fight the guy. I'm pretty sure he wants to fight me too, you know what I mean? Everybody wants to fight me. But, you know, yeah, man, but, you know, Florida's great, dude. First time out in Florida, man. It's nice, man. I'm just looking forward to putting on a show, man.
And now, Julian, it's been, March you last fought, but you say everybody wants to fight you. Why do you say that?
Man, I got so many haters out here, man. I don't even know. I think they just on my nuts or something. I don't know. Maybe they just want to beat me, man. But, hey, I just, you know, from the Ultimate Fighter, how I acted on the show, you know, and oh, let me bang, bro, you know, and... I think that just gave everybody the wrong image on me, man. But, you know, I'm glad I did that. And now, you know, I can get fights. You know, people were backing out of fights. I couldn't even get a fight before the show. But now, you know, people were hating on me for the show. And, you know, everybody wanted a piece of me, man. I don't know why, because I'm a fucking animal. And come fight day, man, I'm going to knock this dude out. You know what I mean? I'm going to choke him out, dude. But I'm going to do my thing, man. Put on a show.
Yeah, and Julian, no doubt about it. I mean, you even fought for Bellator, so that's a plus at your end. But
yeah,
you think that one clip we said that which went viral, you know, the whole, you know, let me bang, bro, it came out in World Star Hip Hop, the whole thing came out everywhere.
Right.
One thing about it is you seem to be lighthearted about it and you laugh about it, so you see it more as a funny thing. And
yeah, because the whole thing, dude, I didn't even, like, I didn't even remember what the hell happened, you know what I mean? I watched it on TV for the first time like everybody else did. You know, I had a lot of emotions going on in the show, you know, just one night of bad drinking, man, and, hey, shit happens, man, when you get drunk, I guess, you know what I mean? But, you know, I'm glad it happened, you know, got my name out, and now I got a lot of fans, I got a lot of haters, you know, but got me a lot of publicity, you know, but, hey, all publicity, good publicity to me, man, it's just... You know, just about marketing yourself and trying to get the next fight, man, and the next win.
Yeah, you know, there is no such thing as bad publicity, Julian. I must agree with you on that one. Now, ever since that episode, do you still drink? Because I know some fighters, they stay away from that. But do you drink occasionally or moderately?
I never really drank before I got on a show like that. It's just, you know, but I like to have a good time, of course, man. I'm young. I'm a fighter, and I like to have fun. Of course, you know, after my fight, I'm gonna go out and kick it. You know, in Miami, Game 7. You know, LeBron James. I'm from Ohio, so you know that's where we're going.
Boy.
Miami, South Beach. You know, representing Ohio.
Were,
you know what I mean?
You weren't one of the guys that were burning the Cleveland Cavalier LeBron James jersey, right?
Yeah.
You weren't one
of
them.
Yeah, of course, man. There's a lot of LeBron haters out there, you know, from Ohio, man. But I'm one of those guys, you know, from Ohio that I still rep my hometown, man, Mansfield, Ohio. You know what I mean? And LeBron, you know, he's from Ohio. So, hey, I'm out here in Miami. And Game 7, tomorrow night. We're going to go check it out, man. Hopefully we can get courtside, you know what I mean? Just, you know, party with the Miami Heat, man.
That's good. But you got to have a lot of cash, though, Julian. They're going for $30,000 from what I understand, courtside. So it's pretty expensive. If you can
get
in.
Hey.
You know?
I could do whatever I put my mind to, man.
There
it's like
go.
This fight, you know. I said I'm going to win this fight. I'm going to knock this dude out on Friday, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to knock James Reese out, man. Friday night, dude. You know, I say I'm going to do something. I'm going to do it, man.
Well, Julian, you know, you last fought in March and in February. You're coming off two losses, but your opponent JP Reese is also coming out from a defeat as he lost to Wagner Hosha, a former UFC veteran. How do you pair up against JP Reese, and how did you prepare for this fight?
See, the thing, my two losses came at 170, and, you know, I naturally walk around about 165, 170, so I never had to make a weight cut for the Ultimate Fighter. I was always walking around on weight. All the other guys were, like, 200 pounds, 205, you know, 30 pounds heavier than me, so it's like, hey, man, I'm undefeated at 155. I jumped up for the opportunity for the Ultimate Fighter, and, you know, I'm not going to turn that down. It don't matter if I was fighting heavyweight. I still would have took the opportunity. And, hey, I'm back in my element, man. I'm back at 155, you know. I'm faster, quicker than ever, man. I was training out in New Jersey, you know, with Chris McCray, Frankie Edgar, you know, at Ricardo Almeida, BJJ, working on my jits. And I'm a strong wrestler, man. I've been wrestling since I was in diapers, basically, man. So if he wants to make it a wrestling match, he can do that. But that's just going to get him choked out or you know, get him submitted, you know what I mean? But I'll go wherever the fight wants to go, man. You know, I'm a fighter, man. That's what I do. I'm there to beat him up, man. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to beat him up. That's my game plan. Beat him up, man.
All right, Guillermo.
Hey, Julian, a lot of the guys that go on The Ultimate Fighter, they just, after the show, they talk about how much they hated being cooped up in that house and how miserable they were. Did you enjoy your time there, and what did you take away from that whole experience?
Yeah, man, I don't regret nothing, man. I love the opportunity that they gave me to get on the show. You know, I thank everybody for the, you know, giving me that opportunity. And I had a blast, man. But, you know, when I lost my fight, I got a little emotional. You know, I kind of got sick of everybody in the house. I didn't want to be there anymore. I just had a daughter, you know. So I'm locked in the house for 6 weeks. I can't call my family. I can't see my family. And, you know, I was just missing my family, especially after I lost the fight. I wanted to go, you know, I basically just wanted to go out with a bang, man, just go home. But I'm glad I stuck around, man, and got to finish out the show. And, you know, it opened up a lot of doors for me, man. That's why I'm in Fort Lauderdale right now, man, you know, putting on a main event show.
Yeah, and Julian, a lot of people in the press, in the MMA press, criticized Roy Nelson for his coaching on the show. I mean, did you learn anything from Roy, and were you upset about the whole picking straws thing?
Yes. I didn't learn shit from Roy, man. I learned how to throw an overhand right, but I already knew how to do that, you know. Everybody has, you know, I got a natural right hand, so that's nothing. He really didn't teach me nothing, man. He just sat around with his fat ass and just, you know, just talked the whole time, dude. Like, Coach Roy, man, he didn't show no interest in his team, man. Like he didn't look at us like his teammates or, you know, his students or anything, you know. We were looking up to him to try to, you know, to be like him and become the next Ultimate Fighter. But instead, he's busy telling us UFC's spooning him around and shit, and we don't need to get the Ultimate Fighter contract because it's bullshit, and we need to come back on another contract and all this shit, man. So, like, that's what we were listening to while we were warming up for our fight. You know, so think about that. Like, that's, like, mental. It's 80% mental when you fight, man. And if your coach is telling you that, like, you shouldn't even be, like, doing this because it's bullshit. Like, you know what I mean? That kind of threw our games off, man. So, yeah, man, I didn't really learn much from Roy, man, but I learned a lot from my teammates, man, you know. I learned a lot from my boy Colt, you know, Joey, Boom Boom, everybody, you know, taught me a lot because they were older than me, you know. And they, you know, I got mentally stronger from the show because I was fighting bigger guys. So now I'm back in my weight class, and, you know, I'm going to manhandle these little chumps, man.
And Julian, you said you learned a little bit from Colt. Did you stay in touch with Colton and any of the
other guys? Yeah, me, Colt, you know, stay in touch. My boy Max Payne, you know, he didn't get on the show, but he lost to Secor after he was whooping Secor's ass for three rounds, and, you know, he got caught, man. And that's another guy I want to fight, too, Matt Secor. Hopefully he's listening right now, man. Book that shit, dude. I'm ready for him. And, yeah, man, Max Payne, you know, Cole Smith, you know, Joey Boom Boom, you know, even a couple guys on the team, man. I learned a lot, you know, I learned a lot from everybody, man. I was the most inexperienced guy on the show, you know. I only had four fights, man, and never been out the first round, you know, got on the show. I went to the second round, you know, hoping to go to third with Bristol, you know, but I didn't get that. But, yeah, you know, never, you know, always was a first-round finisher, and then I've been there with bigger guys, man, doing my thing. But I had nothing but the game from the show, man, and I learned a lot from my teammates, man. So, you know, I'm thankful for that, you know.
Now, have you been in talks or do you stay in touch with any of the UFC officials, you know, to keep an eye on you as you try to perfect your record and possibly get back into the octagon or get an opportunity to the octagon?
Yeah, for sure, man. I'm always, you know, on Twitter and stuff, like tweeting, you know, Fertitas, Dana White, Joe Silva. You know, if they're listening right now, you know what I mean? I'm about to come in here Friday, get this win, you know, get back on a win streak, hopefully get a couple wins under my belt, man, to get back in the UFC. You know, actually, I mean, get to the UFC. I haven't got there yet. You know what I mean? That's still my lifelong dream, man. I'm not going to stop until I get to the UFC, dude, until I get some gold around my waist, man.
Gotcha. Well, you're going to come in this Friday into enemy territory as you're fighting J.P. Reese. He has the home crowd advantage. What do you have to say to your opponent and the fans this Friday that, you know, you'll be fighting this Friday night?
Hey, every fight I fight is the hometown guy. That's why they call me the out-of-town shooter, man. You know, me, Chris McCray, Dr. Rivera out of Jersey, man. Everybody, we come out of there, we're the out-of-town shooters, man. Coming from Mansfield, representing Iron Army. Out-of-town shooters. That's why they call us out-of-town shooters. So we come into the town, in enemy territory, and we smash on them, you know what I mean? And we collect our money, and we go back. That's what we do, man.
So what, Julian?
Shout-out to the out-of-town shooters, man.
Huh? Anything you'd like to add? Anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, I just want to shout out to all my homies out in Mansfield, you know, Mansfield, Ohio. I'm out here in Fort Lauderdale doing my thing, representing my town, you know, Ohio, stand up. And shout out to Miami Heat. Hopefully they win game 7, man, get that championship ring again, you know. And check me out Friday night, you know, fighttimepromotions.com. You know, I see the fight is going to air on HBO Plus. It's going to be recorded for HBO Plus and Comcast Sports, so make sure you check me out, man. It's going to be the best fight of my career and most dominant fight of my career, man. I can guarantee that, man. I've been training harder than ever, and I'm unstoppable right now, man. Night train, going to run through games, Reese, come Friday night, man.
Awesome. Well, thank you so very much, Julian. You can check out Julian and Reese going at it in the main event of Fight Time Promotions this Friday at the War Memorial in Fort Lauderdale. Julian, thanks so very much, man, and good luck.
All right, man. About to get back to my ab workout, man. I'm out here at LA Fitness, man, Fort Lauderdale.
Enjoy it, dude. Thank you. Take the time.
Later, man.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Have a good night. Thank you. All right, there you go, folks. Julian Lane, who, as you said, he took a break from his training to speak to us as he's getting ready for his fight. That is cool. You know, you had an Ohio guy cheering for the Heat. You know, when at one point the Ohioans hated the Miami Heat, but I guess with time heal, you know, a little healing on the pain, they end up realizing, hey, you know, they got to support their very own, and that's LeBron James from Ohio.
Yeah, I think the exception. I think most Ohio fans still hate LeBron. I think he's like one of the few that doesn't hate him.
I think so too. Or maybe it's just because he's in Miami. We don't know that.
Yeah, he might just be saying to get more crowd support.
Hey, if it were, you know what? Julia, good luck, man. And I hope that the rest of the guys in the Miami Heat and LeBron are hearing you, and we can definitely get another trophy down here. All right, so Guillermo, moving forward to news before we go. Hector Lombard is officially headed to welterweight. He says he wants Nate Marco. You think this is a good move for Hector, or do you think he'll have some sort of an issue making weight since he is a big dude?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a necessary move. I mean, especially considering his last fight. He was fighting Yushin Okami, And I would say they were about equal in their skill sets as far as wrestling go, because Yushin was so much bigger than Hector. He was able to control the fight with the wrestling. Even though they had equal wrestling, Yushin was able to manhandle him just based on size. And so I think Hector realized, like, you know, he's not going to get anywhere fighting elite guys who are bigger than him, that maybe he should get down and fight people his own size, you know, where he can really show his skills. So I think it's a good move. As long as it's not, like, such a crazy cut where he's weakened by it, I think he'll be very successful.
Well, we spoke to Steve Caro of the World Series of Fighting, and Josh Berkman was interviewed earlier today, and they asked him if he would leave the World Series of Fighting for the UFC, and he said no. He has a commitment, and he has to meet that contract. He says he has 3 fights left, and he has no plans on leaving the World Series of Fighting. But he has said that he has been in contact with Joe Silva of the UFC. So the guy is a very committed person. Well, the news came in last week that Ricardo Lamas is off the UFC 162. And now Tim Bush and Mark Munoz have been promoted to the main card. It's an unfortunate news, as Lamas was scheduled to fight the Korean Zombie. But now the Korean Zombie will be going at it against Jose Aldo for the title. I had the opportunity of speaking to Lamas during the weekend. And, you know, I got to give it to the guy. He's a very cool, humble guy. You know, for the most part, and one example I want to bring up is Johnny Hendricks. You know, when he didn't get the title shot, he went on social media and started saying this and that, which, mind you, it works. But, you know, Ricardo Lamas did not do that. He stayed quiet. He understood the situation, and he gave you that feeling that I'm going to be patient, and when my time comes, my time comes. And you got to give it to the Korean Zombie, because he himself says that he admits he feels bad for Ricardo Lamas. So this is just a nice gesture of Lamas. You could tell how humble he is and how patient he is, because let's be frank, he was the next in line for that title shot.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. And I hate it that the UFC keeps on passing up the number 2 guy in the world and giving shots to guys below that. I mean, Chan Sung-jung, the Korean Zombie, he, in my opinion, would be the next guy after Lamas to get a shot, you know, if things were fair. But unfortunately, the UFC always goes with the guy that hypes things more and that the fans like more. That's why you get the Korean Zombie getting this title shot. That's why you see Gustafsson getting the title shot against John Jones, even though Machida is ahead of him on the rankings. That's why we saw Nick Diaz pass over Johnny Hendricks for a title shot. It's just the UFC does things based on dollars and cents instead of what's fair or what the rankings say.
Yeah, it is. But hopefully they get the issue resolved there. Lamas does get a title shot. They are saying that he could possibly get another fight and then get the winner of Aldo and Sung. But we don't know that. We don't know that. We would have to still wait. But my hat off to Lamas. He really handled it like a professional. But speaking of, they mentioned Johnny Hendricks. It seems that he is going to be fighting GSP for his title, and it's scheduled for November 16th, likely for the UFC 167. Everyone wants MMA in New York City, in New York. But, again, it was shut down. Again, nothing yet has happened. It's the only state in the country that doesn't allow MMA. And the law was tabled. So, no way... know how the MMA will be legalized in 2013 in New York. So we still have to wait. So that dream of possibly seeing an Anderson Silva versus a John Jones in Madison Square Garden, if it does happen this year, it won't be in New York. Not sure if you caught the news, Guillermo, but the UFC and Fox Sports 1 card in Boston had has been running to some issues, that some of the guys that fight on the card that are not from the United States have been having some issues with their getting over here with the visas or whatnot. But the issue is being resolved. They're trying to work on it hard. I hope it does not affect, because you got guys like Alistair Overeem. You have guys like Shogun Rua who are on that card who could be affected by this. But I really hope that it doesn't affect that card, because it seems like a nice one. And the best thing about it is it's free. So hopefully it just doesn't happen to us. Roy Nelson, yeah, the MO, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to clear it up. The issue is not a visa and them getting over here. Oh. The issue is that in the state of Massachusetts, they have a law in place. Well, the state of Massachusetts itself has a law in place where a person from outside the country cannot work in that state without a Social Security number. So that's what the issue is. All these fighters don't have Social Security numbers. And so according to the law, they're not allowed to work in that state. But according to UFC officials, they said that law is not fair, because unless you do live in the United States, you can't get a Social Security number. So it's unfair to the fighters. So according to the UFC, they said it'll work itself out. No, there's not going to be any problems. So we'll see what happens.
Yes, sir. Let's be patient. I'm sure they'll get to the result. Well, Roy Nelson lost this weekend, and the issue is, will he remain in the UFC? What are your thoughts, man? Do you think he's going to stay with the UFC? You think he'll get things cleared away with Dana White?
Well, you know, I believe he'll stay with the UFC. I mean, I think the only one that'll keep Roy Nelson from being in the UFC is Roy Nelson. The UFC is going to offer him a contract, and Roy Nelson's going to say yes or no to it. And, like, you know, I believe it's just going to be an argument about how much money, you know. I mean, Roy Nelson may think he's worth $80,000 a fight, and UFC might come back to him and say $30,000. And it's going to be up to Roy Nelson whether he wants to negotiate or tell the UFC, you know, to go stuff it, you know. So I don't know. I mean, with Roy Nelson, you just never know how he's going to react. If UFC lowballs him, he might just tell him to go fly a kite, you know.
Right. Well, Paul Kelly, of ex-UFC fighter, has been sentenced to 13 years for heroin trafficking. Wow, that's some shocking news. And lastly, Bellator is going on right now. And right after the show, you're going to have the Fightmaster Bellator MMA reality show with Randy Couture, Frank Shamrock, Joe Warren, and Greg Jackson serving as coaches. Hey, what do you think about this show? You think it's going to be something similar to The Ultimate Fighter? You think it's going to be a success?
I'm not sure. I don't think so, but you never know. I mean, Bellator's ratings have been higher than they were on MTV2 since they moved to Spike TV. I don't believe this show would do anywhere near the numbers that The Ultimate Fighter did. I don't know how much Bellator's own ratings will go up due to this show, but I don't believe it'll be very successful. It might be around maybe for a couple of seasons, and I don't think it'll be around after that. Or it definitely won't be around in the same format that they're using. They'll probably try to change it up a few times before they give up on it.
Well, that's enough for us for today. We want to thank you for joining in with us on this show tonight. Guillermo, your final thought, man, before we go and watch the ending of Bellator.
No, man, like, it's unfortunate, but for a few weeks here, we don't got no UFC coming up. But once we do have the UFC coming up, it's going to be the big one with Anderson Silva and Chris Weidman. So that's going to be real exciting, because, like I told you, I'm predicting Chris Weidman's going to take the title from Anderson and really the whole MMA world.
Everyone is saying that, including my boy Chael Sonnen. Let's see if he's right. But everyone is supporting Weidman. He says he will surprise people. You know, I don't know if it's hype, man. We're just going to have to see when it happens. But we won't have any, you're right, we won't have any UFC fights from here on out for a while. However, Glory Kickboxing will be taking place this weekend, so make sure that if you are in New York, you check out the event. And you're also going to be airing it on a pay-per-view. So this Saturday, if you like some kickboxing, some Muay Thai, June 22nd, it's going to be taking place, Glory 9, New York. Tyrone Spong is going to be there, and a whole list of great fighters, which we have had the opportunity of interviewing here on the Roman Show. Lastly, your thoughts on Rashad Evans, man, and Dan Henderson, and what's next for Henderson? Does he hang up his boots? One more fight? And Evans, what do we got for Evans?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, the fight to me was not very exciting at all. I mean, for the most part, there was a couple of moments where Rashad looked like he was in trouble, and Dan Henderson even looked a little startled at one point, but nothing too exciting for the most part. It was a pretty boring fight, in my opinion. Very close, very hard to score the rounds, so he could have gone either way. You know, it's unfortunate for Dan Henderson because, you know, he lost two straight split decisions. You know, these have not been, like, clear-cut losses for him. But at his age, two losses in a row pretty much is going to doom him from ever getting another title shot. And, you know, he's running out of time. So basically, what's he going to do now? Is he going to fight a bunch of fights just to make some money and fight some name fighters? But at the end of the day, it won't matter much. Will he go down to 185 pounds, even though at his age, I don't know if he can? You know, and then Rashad. Now Rashad won this fight. Now he's gotten some confidence, and now he's refusing to go down to 185. Had he lost, he probably would have gone down to 185, and I think that might have been better for his career. So actually, I think this victory, even though it might give him some hope, might actually be bad for him in the long run, because it'll prevent him from moving down. But Rashad, I mean, I don't think he's anywhere near a title shot right now. Even though you think a win over Dan Henderson would do a lot for you, I mean, this is Dan Henderson's second straight loss. It's not a very convincing victory for Rashad at all. I mean, there's some people who thought that Dan won the fight. Rashad, I see him fighting a guy like Dan, that type of guy, maybe like a Rich Franklin or somebody at that level, like a Ryan Bader sort of person, you know. And if he can win that and then win against maybe a top 10 guy after that, then maybe he'll beat someone. But right now, I don't think this victory really propels Rashad very far forward.
Let's see what happens with Rashad Evans, which, mind you, many people were upset about that pay-per-view. They said it was very, well, boring. But hey,
well,
it's
there was
MMA,
a few
man.
Good fights like at the beginning of the card, but yeah, I mean, the main event definitely did not live up to it. I mean, the names on the card, you know, there was no like real big, huge fight that you could be like, wow, I must see that. You know, like not even, like I told you, not even Dan Henderson, Rashad Evans was getting my heart beat up, because Rashad had lost two times in a row. He didn't look good at all in the fight against Nogueira. And then Dan Henderson, he didn't look very good against Machida at all. Like he wasn't able to hit Machida at all in that whole fight, basically, because Machida is so good at defense. So yeah, I don't know. I was not very excited about it. But this next one coming up, the one the July pay-per-view with Anderson and Chris Weidman, it's not just that fight. The rest of that card is pretty loaded. So really looking forward to that. I'm really looking forward to that fight.
No, don't worry, guys. They make up for it because that fight might be phenomenal, and that's coming up on July 6th with Silva and Weidman going at it. You got Frankie Edgar versus Charles Oliveira, Roger Gracie versus Tim Kennedy, Dennis Seaver versus Cub Swanson, Tim Boyce versus Mark Munoz. Also
in the prelims, you got
Andrew Craig. Yeah, Andrew Craig versus Creed Leben. And a whole list of great fighters, man. So, yeah, every guy here fighting on this card, they're going to deliver. So, don't worry, folks.
Yeah,
July
absolutely.
6th,
and
just
for
2 weeks away
from now. For people who like gambling on the UFC, if you really believe Chris Weidman can win that fight, I mean, if you put money down on Chris Weidman, there's so much money to be made if he wins. I mean, right now, it's like for every dollar you put down on Weidman, you're getting $4 back. So, I mean, think about it. You put down $10, you win back $40. I mean, if you predict exactly how Weidman's going to win, whether it's by submission or by points, then you're getting like $8 or $9 to the dollar. So, yeah, I mean, like, it's pretty crazy. If you really believe Weidman can win, this might be the fight to put a big bet on, you know. So we'll see what happens.
We just got word now also that Babalu Sobral has retired.
That doesn't surprise me. He's been pretty washed up for a long time. I mean, he hasn't been very good. Like, the last major title he held was the Strikeforce title, and that was 4 or 5 years ago. And then he just went on a string of getting knocked out. He struggled in Strikeforce, getting knocked out by Gegard Mousasi, and then he went over to Bellator, and he's lost a couple in a row there as well. And his glory days are well past. But, I mean, his best time of his career was when he was in the UFC, and he fought for the UFC light heavyweight title against Chuck Liddell. Not the first time he fought Liddell. He was just a contender at that time, and so was Liddell. But when Liddell was the champ and Babalu was on a 6-fight win streak in the UFC, 5 or 6-fight win streak, everybody thought, man, maybe Babalu is the guy who's going to take down Liddell. But unfortunately for Babalu, it was Liddell who won that night. And I believe it was Liddell's third title defense at the time. And he's never really been the same since that defeat.
That's right. Well, guys, thanks so very much for tuning in. We hope you join us next week, next Wednesday. We will also be live next Tuesday starting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Follow us on Twitter @The Roman Show. Visit our website, TheRodolphoRoman.com. You can also listen to the entire show on iTunes. Just search for The Roman Show on Stitcher Radio, on TuneIn Radio, like our fan page, Roman Show Media. With that said, have a good night, and we'll talk to you next week.
What's up? This your boy, Kimo Slice. And if I got one thing to say about these amateur fights, not only did I have a good time tonight, but I want everybody to know you got to keep watching with Dolph Roman. If you keep your eyes upon that, man, you'll be all right. You'll know what's going on. So stay hip to Dolph Roman. This your boy, Kimo Slice, 305, and we out.